Well, here we are on Easter Sunday. What difference does Easter Sunday make? Does it make what's the whole purpose for this? On the first Sunday, the chief priests had heard that the tomb was empty. So they went to the guards around the tomb and bribed them to say that Jesus' disciples had stolen the body and taken it away. They didn't want anybody to hear that a miracle had happened. We can call that the first Easter conspiracy. The first one, and not the last. The years passed, decades and generations and centuries came and went. And every time across the centuries, the ultimate point of attack on the Christian religion is at the empty tomb, at the resurrection, the truth behind Easter Sunday. What really is that truth? Now, Good Friday doesn't pose any kind of a problem because we're all comfortable with death. We understand death too well in our community and in our church. We know that. You know, there are only two things you can't escape, and I'm not even going to say them. Just fill in the blanks. Read the newspapers, turn on the TV. Death is forever with us. The funeral homes never go out of business because there is never a run out of a supply of inventory. They change every day. The obituaries change every day. People keep on dying, mostly older, somewhat younger. How much younger could have been the death of my first daughter at 12 hours old? That was a young death. No one can claim exemption from death. There are no death credits, no death deductions, no loopholes, no bailouts, no wiggle room to escape. The world does not struggle with the idea that 2,000 years ago in a remote country, Jesus died. He died on a cross on a hill outside of Jerusalem. That's no problem to people that he died because everybody dies. The world knows nothing, however, about resurrection. It just does not make sense. Let me ask the question, what difference does Easter make? What difference would it have made if Jesus had not risen from the dead? What difference would it make? What difference would it make to the world today if we found out conclusively that Jesus did not rise from the dead? What if we found his bones in a tomb someplace? What if Jesus did not rise from the dead? What if? What if is a question of 2,000 years old. Well, a biblical question that even Paul raises up in the scripture reading this morning that Daryl read. 7 times in that verse, he uses the word if. He is raising a question to show us how much hangs on the bodily resurrection of Jesus. To borrow from the vernacular, it's the whole ball game right here. Today, what we're celebrating, it's the whole ball game. Now, Paul plays the devil's advocate in this scripture reading because he wants to teach what matters most. He's not playing a parlor game. He's reminded that an outstanding miracle lies at the heart of our faith, and without it, it's empty. We believe something incredibly happened. The man who is dead came back to life. Our belief is that God raised him from the dead. Stupendous. It's amazing how that sounds, and it's so critical to our Christian faith. After all, if you go to the cemetery and wait for a resurrection, you're going to wait for a long time. It doesn't happen very often. Lots of people going in, not many people coming out. The odds seem against it. So when we go to the passage, we need to be clear-headed. And Paul says, let me just step outside the church for a minute. Let me just leave the church and go outside our faith and look inside and ask some questions. What if Jesus didn't rise from the dead? What if? What if Easter isn't really true? The world's blackest assumption. What if? What if? Does it really make a difference? So what if he didn't rise from the dead? No big deal. No big deal. Right? Well, Paul answers with 4 disastrous consequences that come up as a result of our unbelief. Number 1, if there's no resurrection, our preaching, our witness, our work, our outreach is without purpose. And he says, and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. And so is your faith. More than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that He raised Christ from the dead. In just one word, useless. Our faith is useless without the resurrection. Some translations say vain. It means all we have learned has come to nothing. As I thought about that, I thought about my days back in school. After I graduated from high school, I went to college for 4 years, seminary for 3 years, and then 4 years part-time in graduate school. I remember toiling over papers, trying to decipher the various scriptures that were given for us to dissect and understand. In those days, we had to write our reports with a regular Smith Corona typewriter without correction. In fact, that was just about the time in 1961 when the IBM Selectra came out, but it was too expensive for a poor seminarian in those days, so I bought Whiteout by the case. My studies concentrated on systematic theology, which is a $64,000 word, which means you take the Bible and you put it in order so that you understand what's going on in the mind of God. I took courses in church history and in Christian education and missions and preaching courses, and I sweated out my senior thesis on the problem of good and evil. I graduated within 1 week, and after that I became assistant pastor of a large congregation in New York, in the suburbs of New York, and 1 month after I got there, the pastor left for a vacation. Here I was with 1,000 families all by myself. So I had a good indoctrination. Well, big deal. What does that have to do with anything? What does that have to do with anything that we're talking about on Easter Sunday? You know, all that information and $5 will get you a latte at a Starbucks. But no amount of education can compensate the heart of our belief if you think it's a giant falsehood. A lawyer cannot be effective if he believes that the justice system does not work. If Christ was not raised from the dead, then all the education of the world cannot overcome that one fact. And all Christian seminaries and colleges and professors and books are often not. All the scholars across the centuries have been doing futile work, worthless writings, just trash. Might as well just throw them in the garbage. Not worth anything. That's what Paul means. String out all the degrees that you want after your name. Write all the books you want. Preach until you pass out or until the congregation passes out. Build the biggest church in the world. Fill huge stadiums with great throngs like Billy Graham did. Put your name in lights. If the tomb is not empty, however, you are wasting your time. Secondly, if there's no resurrection, our faith is without forgiveness because Christ did not atone for our sin. It says in Corinthians 15:17, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Futile, useless. It has no results. It's a promise with no fulfillment. It's a trip with no destination. In Baltimore, there's a highway that they're deconstructing right now because it went nowhere. There was no connection to anything. It's a story with no end. It's a seed that produces no crop. It's a dream that never comes true. It's a game with no winners. It's a company with no product. Futile. Worthless. How do we know his death really accomplished anything? The fact is that if Christ had remained in the tomb, we could never be sure that Christ accepted his sacrifice. This is the greatest misery of all, not to know if our sins have been forgiven. But our greatest security as Christians is knowing that we have been washed clean by his blood and resurrection. During that long weekend in Jerusalem, no one in the world could be sure what was going to happen. Christ was dead. He was in the tomb. The stone was in front of the tomb, and the guards were there. As long as he was in the tomb, it looked like devil and the death had won. Christ, the Messiah, the one who was going to become the King of the Jews, was dead. He was crucified on a cross. Jesus said, on the cross, it is finished. Well, what is finished? Well, his earthly work was finished. If he doesn't rise from the dead, the story is over and we're worthless, futile, have no value. That's why the resurrection is so critical and so important to our faith. Jesus cried out to end his human existence, "It is finished." And God said, "Amen," on Sunday morning when he raised him from the dead. And because he is alive forevermore, we can know that our sins are forgiven forevermore. That's the great issue that Paul had in mind. Are our sins truly forgiven or are they not? If Christ has been raised, the answer is yes. If Christ is still in his tomb, the answer is no. Thirdly, if there's no resurrection, then our death is without deliverance. Then Paul says in 1 Corinthians, "Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost." Paul says that those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. And that term meant that the Christians used in the first century, falling asleep. A cemetery was a place for sleeping. That's what the Greek word means, a place for sleeping. That's where the Christians bury their dead, in a place for sleeping. Why did they say that? Because they knew that when you sleep, you're going to wake up eventually. Some mornings, I hope not. I'd like to sleep a long time. Even so, Christians have always believed that one day those who have died believing in Christ will wake up to a great day of resurrection. Paul's answer is very, very clear. If Christ has not been raised, death wins. If he is still in the tomb, there's no hope for anyone. This life is all there is. And those who are dead will stay dead forever. And we know that that is not true. Fourth, if there's no resurrection, our service is without significance. It says in 1 Corinthians, "If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men." We're just fooling ourselves if we don't believe in the resurrection. It's worthless. If Christ is still in the tomb, then atheists such as Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens and Stephen Hawking are right. And all the skeptics are right, and we're wrong. If there is no foundation in our faith and we are nothing but self-deluded fools, and I'm the biggest fool in this room. If Christ is not raised, there's no message to preach. If Christ is not raised, then we are not saved. If Christ is not raised, then let's bring our missionaries home, George. What's the sense? No sense. If Christ is not raised, let's close every church and they can have their brunch in here too on Sunday mornings. Overflow. If Christ is not raised, then every Christian, the billions for 2,000 plus years, have been wrong. That's what Paul means. Sometimes I hear well-meaning people say something like, "Even if the resurrection is true, you could still be a good Christian. Think of the things you can gain by being a Christian, all the good things you can do. You can have Jesus in your heart." No, you can't. How can you have a dead person in your heart? If he's still in the tomb, he's still dead. He's not in your heart. If he's still in the tomb, we're just playing religious games. If he's still in the tomb, it's better not to be a Christian. God doesn't play games, and neither do I. I don't want to come to the end of my life and find out that all this work, all this preaching, all this study is not true, that I've misled people. What a horrible thing to think. If Christ is still dead, then we deserve the pity of thoughtful men and women because we believed a lie. Paul's big words, if. Is there any answer, any hope to believe in the resurrection of the dead? And here's Paul's answer. And he says, but now, clear as a bell, but now Christ has risen from the dead and become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Just think how much hangs on those two little words, but now. The big transition, if, and then but now. Even so, the resurrection of Jesus 2,000 years ago is a way of God saying, one day all my children will rise from the dead. Not one of them will be left in the grave. Every single one of us who believe in Christ as Savior and has it in our hearts will be raised immortal, incorruptible, perfected, completed, glorified, free from sickness, delivered from death, with sin gone forever. with human frailty disappeared. Personality retained, eternally endowed, supernaturally restored, made like Jesus, all defects gone. With healthy bodies and clear minds and undivided hearts, with a glorified body. In the company with all the saints in the ages, with a multitude that no man can number. That's what it says in the Bible. We'll gather around the throne. We will rejoice and laugh and sing. We'll know each other more deeply. We'll love each other more completely. We'll think more clearly. We will still be who we are. We'll be more than we've ever been, and we'll become what we always wanted to become. And finally, we will see our loved ones who died in the Lord. We'll meet those who went before them. We'll love those who hated us. And those who have hated us will love us. We will see the saints of old. We'll see grandparents and grandchildren and all of our ancestors. We'll marvel at the grace of God forever. We'll see Jesus face to face and bow down before him. And then we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But now Paul says, he arose, Christ arose. Our hope, our faith is there. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came back from the dead, never to die again. He was taken up to heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And once and again, he will return to the earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And what a great day that will be. The dead in Christ will rise first. Let the doubters doubt if they wish. We will gladly join with Christians everywhere in declaring, Christ is alive. He's alive forevermore.